Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, hour two. We are live due to technology in Los Angeles. In fact, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio. And right here on FS1, Joy and I match today. Happens about twice a week. Fetching. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, normally our wardrobe is here with us during the morning. So they actually plan for us to not match. That's why it happens so rarely.
Look, I mean, right now in America, just look at this. If we walked into a Hall of Fame broadcasting dinner, which we'll be at pretty soon, and we would be a fetching, and we both walked on stage, you'd be like, oh, my God, it looks like they broadcast.
Clearly they belong here.
It works.
Is this the campaign that we're doing to get into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame?
If you're tied to me, it's going to be a long time. I've got a lot of critics out there and a lot of haters, and so you'll make it, and they'll be saying, coward's difficult.
Generally, if you don't have haters, that means you're not doing a whole lot.
Good point. I feel better about myself already.
You should.
Okay, so we listen, the idea that pro athletes don't listen to us has always been sort of an eye roll for me. If you literally had people talking about you all day, and it was on Facebook and Twitter and social, you wouldn't go check it out? Your friends sure as hell would. And they'd say, hey, that guy's killing you. That guy's crushing you. Even Westbrook admits. He got mad at me a couple years ago. He said, I don't watch Cowherd, but my friends tell me about him. Of course athletes watch. Some athletes, like KD, fire back. They fire back at you, which I think is fun. LeBron yesterday, of course he listens. Of course he does. So is Michael Jordan. And they all listen. So yesterday, LeBron finished number one seed in the West. It's a real thing. 17th year, it's a real thing. New coach, new system, new everything. And LeBron's quote was, you said I couldn't do it. I love this quote. He goes, since 2010, right? Said I couldn't do it. I'm going to enjoy this. I couldn't do it. Feels so damn good to be number one in the West for me personally. Why? Because we all said he couldn't do it. Because for 17 years, here's what we said. Well, Michael Jordan played much more difficult. Well, anybody can do it in the East. The East just isn't that good. Well, I mean, you know, again, it... Folks, the West is so much better than the East. It's like the SEC and everybody else in college football. There's the SEC, that's one sport, and then there's everybody else. And if you watch the games, they just have more NFL players. They recruit better. They have better first and second round draft picks. Think about the West. The West has, I looked this up this morning, of the top 25 stars in the NBA, we counted this morning, they have 20. The top three young NBA stars, Luka, Zion, and Ja Morant, they're all West. There haven't been two players from the East on a first-team All-NBA team in 7 years. And even then, that was because you had to put a center on it, and there was a couple of good centers out East. If you look at the All-Star teams this year, Kemba Walker, Trae Young, Giannis, Pascal Siakam, and Joel Embiid, compared to James Harden, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, and Luka Doncic. LeBron's got a new coach. A new system, a new position, new teammates, often injury, and he won the West. It's beyond redeemable. It's like a real thing. Like, it is like a real thing. No load management, new position, new coach, new system, new staff, I'll be kind, a weird roster. Dwight Howard, J.R. Smith, JaVale McGee, KCP, Alex Caruso, and old Danny Green. The sometimes talented but inconsistent Kyle Kuzma. I'll just say it again. You take Kawhi off the Clippers. That's still a damn good team. Folks, the Clippers didn't have Kawhi or Paul George last year. They were a pretty good team. You take LeBron off this thing. I'm serious. I'm not sure it's a playoff team. Because the Pelicans had Anthony Davis for years and Drew Holiday. And they didn't make a lot of playoffs. This is not a playoff team without LeBron. I really feel that. I think it's got Anthony Davis and a bunch of question marks in the West. So we got to step back and just go, it's kind of impressive. Like we said it for years. Well, MJ this. Well, the West is way better. And by the way, the West is deeper than it's ever been. It's got more young stars than it's ever had. The Clippers in the same building are the best they've ever been. I think this Portland team is sneaky good. Denver is now relevant. Like, we got to be honest about this. This is a thing. You got to say at the end, this is going to go in the basketball book about LeBron. 17th year. You're going to write this roster down. We're all going to – new coach, new system, new position. It's not considered to be a great ownership group. It's not considered to be a great front office. Won the West. In a year of COVID, Kobe passes. Emotional swings throughout the organization. Number one. Pretty impressive. All right, so I mostly agree with kind of all of you on sports. Like, we go into seasons, and, you know, we know who the teams that could potentially be good and the ones who are a little overrated. You and I agree on most stuff. You know, I've joked for years, you like the home run derby in baseball way more than I do. I don't get it. It's batting. It's beer league batting practice. I don't get it. You love it. I don't. You love the Pro Bowl. I think it's completely unwatchable. I mean, it's. I'd rather see a skills drill. I'd rather see Lamar Jackson climb a wall and Russell Wilson run around tackling dummies and see how far Patrick Mahomes can throw a football. But here's what I don't get. The cynicism around Brady and Tampa Bay. They're going to kick the crap out of most of the teams they play. This is only the second time in Tom's career he's had, like, unbelievable talent, and this offensive roster is better, in my opinion, than the Randy Moss, Wes Welker team. They are stacked at tight end. They are stacked at wide receiver. They have upgraded at running back. Todd Bowles has that defense, one of the best young linebackers in football. The last seven games of the year, they were the number one or number two defense in the NFC. I mean, folks, this was a 7-7 team down the stretch that had a quarterback with 30 picks and six pick sixes. And we've all watched. Joy and I have sat here for the last 3 months. They snuck in practices. They got caught by a helicopter. From the social media team in Tampa to what you're hearing from players, they are so dialed in. They were doing practices which the league condemned them doing. And these weren't just, hey, let's go out and play some Frisbee. This was orchestrated offensive pieces. Brady, when the helicopter caught him, took his helmet off and played tight end because they were giving away stuff. They are ahead of the league. Bruce Arians said this week, Thomas picked it up immediately. Like, for all the cynics out there, don't be. Listen. New Orleans roster is probably more complete. But Drew Brees no longer throws the ball down the field. This team's got guys you can throw it to in the flat. They've got better tight ends and better wide receivers. They do than New Orleans. I don't know if they have the pass rushers, but Arians, like Sean Payton, is a veteran coach who's won a lot of football games. I got to tell you, I don't get the doubters on this. I think they're going to roll a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of us have felt that there's a big advantage to teams like Baltimore, that you got the coach, the staff, the quarterback 2 years, San Francisco, New Orleans, Philadelphia, where I get a good offensive coach, I get a good quarterback, and, you know, we had no OTAs and no camp, no preseason. That is true. This is the exception. You've got the most obsessed football player joining, and he could have joined a lot of teams, the best tight end wide receiver grouping in the NFL. The two places they had to get better was right tackle and running back, and they upgraded for both. Tampa's defense is better than you think. I think this is going to be, you know, I hear a lot of cynics on it, and I'm like, nah, are you going to tell me that Tom can't pick up this puppy quick? I mean, if I said to you, one guy in the league, oh, there's this quarterback. He's got a new team, but he's totally obsessed, and it works quickly. You'd be like, listen, I think Bridgewater and Carolina are going to be sneaky good. They don't have this. They don't have this defense. They're in a rebuild, and I like Carolina. Miami's in a rebuild, and I like Miami. This is not a rebuild. This is a Super Bowl roster. This is not a rebuild. They're going to be really good, really fast. Could September be choppy? John, I don't have the schedule in front of me. I think they got a little bit of a scheduling break. I think they get Green Bay fairly early at home, which Tampa in September is like Libya with football. It's the hottest place on earth. They do get a little bit of a break early where I think one or two of their tough games are at home in September. It's hard for a cold weather team or a mild weather team to
Packers
go to.
Packers and Chargers are at home.
Yeah, they get a little bit of a break there where you don't want to play in Tampa or Miami in September. It's gross. If you're not used to it, it is rough. So I any cynics on this, don't be. You know, generally over-unders, I'm a bet the under guy. The more I think about this, Baltimore and Tampa, bet the over. And I am an under. Fans go crazy. I'm not shocked if they're 13-3. And I'm not shocked if Baltimore is 16-0. I'm dead serious. Baltimore and Tampa Super Bowl wouldn't shock me a bit. More I look at this, more I make calls, more I hear about this, this is not going to take long. I'll tell you another story that won't take long. A lot of people feel Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis is not going to take long. That O-line, that young defense, Chris Ballard, their GM, will join us next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow, MLB on FS1 continues as Bryce Harper and the Phillies take on Aaron Judge and the Yankees. It all starts at 4 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
So Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge, you know, the old thing is you can see talent really quickly. The old American Idol rule. I'm not a music executive, obviously. I could watch American Idol. You could tell in 12 seconds. Talent. She can sing. He can't. You can see talent. You don't need to watch stuff forever to go, oh, they're great, they're overrated. The Yankees, we're 9 games in. Gerrit Cole's 3-0, best pitcher in the American League. 9 games in, Aaron Judge is hitting bombs everywhere. The Yankees are better than everybody. They don't even have Aroldis Chapman, a reliever, yet. They don't. 2 or 3 of their good young players, Sanchez, what's he hitting, like 110? I mean, he's hitting 80. Like, 2 of the 3 of their really good young players are not hitting. They don't have Chapman. They're so much better than everybody. 9 games in. If you go look at the standings right now, the best teams in baseball, the Yankees are 8-1. 9 games in, you know who's best. The Cubs we knew would be good, 8-2. The Twins, we talked about the Twins 6 months ago. This was going to be the Twins' rebirth. They're 8-2. The Braves and Dodgers, both 7-4. They're both favored to win their division. The only surprise in baseball is the Rockies at 7-2. And we'll see where that goes. They've beaten up on a couple of average teams. But it just, frankly, folks, it just does not take very long for the great to separate. And the Yankees are. They don't have Chapman. Some of their young stars aren't hitting. Aaron Judge is a monster. God, he is Zion. Like, he is just, we said it 3 years ago. Like, that's the next phase of baseball. And Gerrit Cole, good luck with that. Good luck with that. He just doesn't lose. It's a weird thing. He starts games and he never loses. Put him in the World Series. And unlike a team in Texas, they don't need like a computer code breaker readout to win games and trash cans.
Yeah.
The only thing they throw into trash cans are the teams they sweep. All right. My guy, Chris Ballard, as smart a young GM as the league has. Yesterday we had Brett Veach on. All sorts of great stories about Mahomes, finding him at Texas Tech. And we bring on the Colts general manager entering his fourth season. Chris Ballard. All right, here we go. We got practices, Chris. This is fun. I'm watching Tom Brady, and I'm waiting for the Phillip Rivers video. So let's start with this. At some point, Chris, you were driving home. You're driving home to your family, and you're sitting yourself thinking, you know what we could use? We could use Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is interesting. Take me to the day, Chris, that you thought to yourself, Phillip Rivers works with us. I'm going to go make a call to Phillip Rivers' agent. Take me to that day.
Well, you know, we had long discussions internally, especially with the relationship Frank and Nick Sirianni, our offensive coordinator, both had coached Phillip. Just from the fit offensively of what we're doing and what we want to do. Plus, being in the AFC West when I was in Kansas City, and then, you know, the first game of the year, you know, when we played them out in L.A., He played really well. So I've seen, you know, Philip and how he operates and how he competes and how he leads his team. So I don't know if it was a particular day, but I know this. We had two coaches on board here that were really excited, you know, about the possibility of getting him here.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, he is a gamer. I mean, he'll trash talk to the last day he ever grabs a football. Now, you've been a guy that spends with great discretion. You're not going to go out in free agency and overspend. You're very patient. That is your reputation. So DeForest Buckner is not inexpensive. What did you say to yourself? Okay, this is a player established. It's not going to be cheap, but it works for us. What was the key to that acquisition?
Well, we had done we do work on everybody in college coming out, and his character was exactly a fit for our program and what we wanted. And then when you watch the tape, you know, it's even better. And I think he's even, you know, improved. And then you're talking about a premium position in our defense in the three technique. You know, to me, it was a no-brainer for us to do. And, you know, the game I watched was just all you had to do is put on the Super Bowl. You know, besides Pat Mahomes, you know, in that final quarter, you know, Buckner might have been the MVP of the game. So we're excited just not only for the player that DeForest is, but for the man and what he brings to our building and what he's going to bring the city of Indianapolis.
You made two draft picks, Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin, who I had said during the season, I'm like, that looks a lot like Ezekiel Elliott to me with a little Saquon Barkley. He is a burner. And Michael Pittman, I think I told you a year ago, I said, that kid, I know his dad was a grinder. I like him. And then you picked both of them, and I just went crazy. But we've got this no preseason, no OTAs. What are realistic expectations, Chris, for even gifted rookies this year?
I told our media the story the other day. Darius Leonard didn't take one snap in OTAs. He was hurt for all of OTAs, and it worked out for Darius Leonard. So, you know, between Zoom meetings and mentally they're in it. They're both smart, mature kids, and they're in it. And there's going to be an absolute learning curve like there was for all rookies. But we drafted them for a reason, for their maturity, you know, for the talent we think they have. And there's not been anything that at this point since they've been in the building that has told me they're not anything but what we thought we were going to get.
Yeah. But I just love them both. I've had them both on my show. They're so much more mature than I was at like 21 years old. They're such bright kids. And it certainly helped for Pittman, his dad, play in the NFL. So, you know, it's interesting about your team. It is so much of what you're doing. You've drafted well. You've used discretion with free agents. But there's also this thing where you've got some unbelievable players, Darius Leonard, Quentin Nelson, and you're going to have to pay them in a couple years. How do you avoid getting impatient? How do you avoid saying, we got guys coming up here, we got to start posting W's? Is that a battle for you personally, knowing how competitive your division is?
Well, I mean, look, we have a lot of faith in our process of how we do things. And, you know, I got a great staff in terms of scouting, you know, from Ed Dodds to Kevin Rogers to Morocco Brown. I mean, I got a really special staff. I think as good as I've been around, you know, since I've been in the league. And then we have a coaching staff that also believes in, you know, developing our own players. So we have enough, you know, we have enough faith in our process and what we do that we still think we can, you know, remain competitive and win going, you know, as we continue to build this thing. I mean, you know, I screwed it up last year. You know, we had a great start. Frank did a heck of a job. The team did a heck of a job. You know, we went on a run. You started out 5-2, and then, you know, the injury bug hit us, and you know, I didn't quite get the depth that I thought we needed, and that's, you know, that falls strictly on my shoulders. But we think we've done a better job of this offseason, and, you know, I feel fortunate to, you know, where we're at, and we'll let it roll, see where we end up.
So when I come to work every day at Fox, I pass through several questionnaires. They take my temperature. There's hand dispensers everywhere. It's been pretty, Joy and I have said, it's been pretty remarkable. I feel, I mean, to be honest with you, I feel much safer here than I would go into a restaurant in Manhattan Beach. So for you, have the team adapted the protocols you use? Has it been difficult? How do you take your message to 23-year-old players who want to go out? Take me through that process for the Colts.
Well, I mean, we're doing all the same things, and we're testing every day. So Dave Hammer, who's running our, you know, protocols for the league, has done a tremendous job. And then everybody's got to buy in, from coaches to staff. I mean, everybody's got to buy in. And like, I think we all feel great here at the building. Like, I think there's a sense of security and safety when you walk in the building. You know, our big message to the team is, when you leave the building, you know, you're responsible not only for yourself, but you're responsible for your teammates. Right. And look, a lot of the philosophy of how we, the people that we want to draft and bring in, you know, Frank had a long talk with him, you know, this week about it. Like, you're in this locker room for a reason, because what you stand for, and your ability and willingness to sacrifice for others. And I mean, I think we've said it a couple of times, but I mean, I think it's the ultimate test of discipline and sacrifice for your team that everybody in this league is going to go through this year.
Finally, let's go back to Phillip Rivers. He can dog cuss opponents. He's totally intense. You got a young roster, and I mean, he's like one of those guys that's been in old cowboy movies. What's it been like to be around him and just his spirit around the club?
I don't know if I've been around anybody that loves football more, and I mean lives football. I mean, he's in the building the other day, really for the first time. And, you know, the second he leaves, I get a 5-minute voice text message from him, you know, about all these ideas. I mean, this guy, I mean, he loves ball. He loves being a great teammate. I mean, like, those things are important to him. And his energy, I mean, you know, even at 38 years old, I mean, you wouldn't know that this guy wasn't a first year rookie, the way his passion is and his energy is for football.
That's so great. Chris Ballard, well, you got a hoodie on. You look comfortable. You look confident. Life is good. And, you know, here we go. I said this to Joy today. You know, Chris, there's been a couple of baseball flare-ups. By and large, I watch the NBA. I'm looking at hockey. It looks like we're getting through this thing, right? Is it a fingers-crossed situation, or you feel good about it?
Well, look, I tell her, you know, Frank and I talk about this every, look, it's a day to every day. We have to manage each and every day. This is different than anything we've ever experienced. First in this country in our lifetime, you know, since 1918 with the last, you know, with the Spanish flu. So it's different, and it's a little uncomfortable, and it's going to be, and it's not normal, but that's okay. We manage it. We keep going. We keep moving forward. We're going to have some points where it's probably going to get a little sticky. I'm sure every team in the league will.
Yeah.
But it's our job to figure it out and just keep moving forward. I don't know what else you can do. I do believe we're going to play. I feel better about it now than I probably would have told you a month ago, with all the protocols and the things that the league and the PA have put together. So we think we have a good plan, and you know, we'll run with it.
Good seeing you, buddy. Love talking to you.
Same here. I appreciate it, Colin.
All right,
thanks for having me on.
Chris Ballard, Colts general manager with Phillip Rivers. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
You know, it's interesting how he said that you know, everyone has to buy in to the situation.
You just do.
That's really all it comes down to when you're talking about managing.
Now, in a bubble, you can be a cynic, but you have limitations.
Right.
In baseball and football,
you don't have the option. You know, if you would like to not buy in, you surely can, and then you'll be in your room for 14 days.
But the NFL also, I believe, Joy, I could be wrong on this, but the NFL set up protocols. If you'll get fined if they catch you doing things in the NFL, like the union and the players agreed to it. Like, the league and the union said, okay, we're going to hand out some fines if you're not responsible.
Well, because
here,
at the end of the day, you may be comfortable putting yourself at risk, but the nature of this virus is that you're putting others at risk.
Yes.
So it's not like it stops with you. If it stopped with you, we obviously wouldn't be having this problem across the entire globe. But also, we would be able to manage it. Because it's like, okay, well, then you can't come, and you can't come, and you can't be here. But you're affecting other people. So if you buy into it and follow the protocols, I mean, what the leagues have done have been incredible.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So am I. So Aaron Rodgers has acknowledged that he may not be finishing his career in Green Bay now that the team has drafted Jordan Love, but he is trying to just take the rest of his career one season at a time.
You know, I savor every moment, every season. I don't take any of it for granted. I don't know, you know, what the future holds. I know I can control this year and my play and my approach and my attitude.
I'm scared of that dude this year.
You're scared about him?
No, I mean, like, he's going to be playing with the ultimate chip on his shoulder this year. He is not about to play with y'all this year.
And the reality, because of no preseason, there's no reason Jordan Love should get close to the field.
He knows that. Yeah. And they were 13-3 last year in the NFC Championship game. So really, I think he's handling this perfectly.
I like it too.
Just be, you know, like humble and, you know, I'm not going to play forever and I understand. Then just go out there and light it up. That's the best way to do it. Yeah. Every once in a while, listen, I am a very, I can be a very hostile person, but every once in a while, kill them with kindness is the best way to go. Because then you just let your play do the talking, and then at the end of the day, everyone's going to be talking about how great Aaron Rodgers is, how silly it was for them to draft Jordan Love because he never saw the field. So it's a waste of a draft pick for this year. And who knows what's going to happen next year? He's completely out of his control.
I never understand, in my business, in any business, people who make guarantees. That just adds stress on you. You just like, I'm going to just go day to day, play hard. I'm going to do a radio show every day. I'm going to do the best I can. Then I walk into the show with no pressure. You start making guarantees about how great you're going to be, or I'm going to show this rookie how great I am. All you're doing is creating that self-inflicted wound.
In an already high-pressure situation, you're adding to it. The one thing he can control, he is right. He doesn't know what's going to happen next year or the year after that or where he's going to finish his career. All he can control is right now in this season and how he plays. And if he goes out there and lights it up, the story is going to be how great Aaron Rodgers is. He knows that. And I'm not saying what he's saying is disingenuous. I'm just saying this is the absolute perfect way to handle it. And he's saying all the right things. Ben Roethlisberger is back throwing at training camp after recovering from elbow surgery last year. He said his arm feels good after the extended time he got to rehab, and he thinks he has plenty left in the tank.
I'm not saying I've got 10 years left in me, but I definitely feel like I've got some really good years left in me. So that was definitely a motivating factor, was coming back and showing that I still have it in the tank. I still have a lot to give this team. I still have a lot to give the fans. And I still want to win Lombardis, and I say that with a plural on the end.
You know, he got a break. I was talking to a restaurant buddy of mine about COVID. He had to shut his restaurant for 3 months, and he goes, "It's the best thing that ever happened to me." And I said, "Why?" He goes, "We're set up well. We're well capitalized." But he goes, "Second, I just opened a new restaurant. I was burned out. My staff was burned out." He goes, "We kind of looked at COVID as an awful situation, but we were built to withstand it." And he said, "In the end of the day, I came back after 3 months and I've never been more passionate about it. I'm into it. It's fun." Big Ben needed 3 to 4 months to get better. And the truth of the matter is, for some of these old veteran players, even in the NBA bubble, like, guys are like, "I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm the healthiest." Folks, these NBA seasons, you are not healthy by game 15. You are waking up in the morning sore, nicked up, knee to the knee. So some of this COVID stuff, these NBA players, these NFL players, for these veteran guys, this is as rested and healthy as they've ever been.
And also, if you're coming off an injury and you play professional sports, you have an extreme amount of pressure to not only get back as soon as possible, but when you do get back as soon as possible, be where you left off before you were injured, which is really unrealistic to ask of the human body, but because it's what they do for a living, we do ask that. He said he tore 3 flexor tendons in his elbow, and he thinks he's the first quarterback to attempt to come back from this injury. So the extra time off definitely helped him. I think that the Steelers will be competitive this year, as they always are. Obviously, they were in the playoff conversation with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges last year. The division obviously is a little bit different. I think Cleveland's going to be better. We already know what Baltimore is. Multiple Lombardis. I don't know that they're competing for that right now. Obviously love the Steelers, but I think that they had an opportunity when they had Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Ben Roethlisberger all healthy in there and squandered it. But Ben does have the best odds, according to Fox Bet, for comeback player of the year, +275, followed by Cam Newton, +400. I don't know. I don't have as much faith in Cam Newton anymore now, looking at the the Patriots situation. So it would make sense for Ben to have the best odds in that spot. Finally, Zion came up big for the Pelicans last night to get a crucial 109-99 win over the Grizzlies. He only played a combined 29 minutes in the first two games, but got significantly more time on the court with 25 minutes last night. He had 23.7 rebounds and tied his career high of 5 assists. And after getting the chance to help his team close out the win, he said he felt alive again. Ja Morant and Zion shared a little moment after the game that was really nice. They were talking, and Ja tweeted, "My guy for life. Being from SC, you don't see this often. Let's continue to stay solid and be a great role model to the people who look up to us. 100 love." And Ja Morant had 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 8 assists in 39 minutes. Had a good game as well. This was actually a fun game. It was nice to see Zion out there, especially in the crucial moments at the end of the game. He came up big. He looked a little winded at times, but it didn't bother me because that's what we're having these conversations about, that he's not playing enough minutes. So let him work through that, which he was fine. Again, I have no idea what's going on with their medical staff and how they're managing all of it. I was just glad to see him and Ja have the game that was billed, and we got to see them out there together. They're the future of the NBA, and it was
Luka,
good that they got the win too, because they're now still in the hunt.
Luka, Zion, Ja Morant, all West, all under like 22. Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Three teams are in the bubble: NBA, MLS, and NHL. A man who formerly worked in the NBA and now runs LAFC will talk bubble. He'll talk what he's seeing with the NBA top 10. My buddy joining us next. Guys, getting older, want to be in good shape? Check out mdriveformen.com. That's mdriveformen.com. Start your day with M Drive.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Known Tom Penn for a long time, used to be an NBA exec with the Portland Trail Blazers. A lot of successful draft picks. Now he's LAFC's president and co-owner, and it's interesting because I've watched a lot of MLS and a lot of NBA, and it's the bubble lifestyle, and it appears to be working. And not a lot of hiccups. NHL just started. They've had 800-some tests and no positives. So the bubbles work. We saw it with the UFC where they went to an island. It flourished. So let's bring on Tom Penn, who is joining us now, LAFC president, co-owner. So let's start with, okay, for you and I, you know, we go home, we eat, we go to work. It's easy. A 23-year-old, a 25-year-old to say, okay, you're going to live in a bubble. 6 weeks, no going out. So let's talk about the MLS bubble. How did the players handle it when you were there?
I was proud of our guys. They handled it really well. They took all their protocols seriously. And, you know, everybody went, quote unquote, overboard. It felt like everything was overboard at the beginning, but they took it so seriously because you see how contagious this thing is.
Yeah.
And it really worked. I mean, it has worked so far. We haven't missed any games in the bubble. Two teams, though, came in little hot and had to get sent home. But for the overall tournament itself, it's worked really well once it's settled and there's been no transmission within. I think our guys handled it well. It's very disruptive being away from, you know, many of them are married. Many of them have young kids. We have a young team. But maybe the young team for us worked to our advantage because so many of those guys were just together on a long road trip.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. Some of these leagues are experimenting, changing protocols. You guys do a video review process. I thought it was fascinating. I wish every league did this, where literally we were allowed as consumers to watch and listen to the replay officials talk about the replay. Is that going to be full time? Did anybody reach out to you in other leagues? Because I'm telling you, as a consumer, as a viewer, I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah, I think in general, a number of the innovations MLS came up with will be used more as we go forward. You know, the miking of and the peeking into the action and being able to hear what the heck's happening, particularly in that situation with those video reviews. Look, over the years, the NBA had a closed box, and then they got much more transparent. As soon as it gets transparent, we're all, like, engaged in and involved in the drama and the discussion. So I think that's really where this is headed. And those particular moments, you're right, are really interesting to be able to hear what the rationale is and the why. And maybe it's a little easier to not go too crazy when you hear the why behind the answers.
So both the MLS and the NBA not only similarly had bubbles, they're both international leagues. NFL is a more domestic league. And I think that always adds something to it. Can be more difficult, a more global leak. Now, you were in the NBA. I think their aesthetics have been great. I think it looks fantastic. I thought yours did. Do you think the NBA, is there something, having been around players, that they would deal with that perhaps your MLS didn't deal with in the bubble?
I think for the NBA, the challenge is it's going to be a much longer bubble experience, especially for the playoff teams as they advance. I mean, I think they ought to give two trophies away to whoever wins this one, because they're going to be in there a long, long time. We're also, I think, going to have the interjection of their families in, or some folks here as soon as the playoffs start, which is going to bring new risk and, you know, new infusion of folks into the bubble. So they're managing that well so far. They've got a long, long way to go. Our situation was reduced down to where we knew that the longest a team was going to be there was maybe 35, 45 days.
Yeah.
In this particular case, you're talking months and months for the teams that go to the finals.
I'm seeing something in the NBA. Luka Doncic is already great. Zion's like 59%, 22 a game. Ja Morant is explosive. As somebody who knows basketball personnel and had to go through this process of drafting guys and watching them at 17, 18, is it my imagination or are basketball players getting better younger? Zion's better than I thought. Ja Morant's better than I thought. Luka is a 29-point-a-game guy now. He's a kid. What's happening to basketball? Are they getting better sooner?
There's so much more offense in basketball, Colin, and the defensive rules, you know how they are now, they really don't exist. So an offensively skilled person can't just get banged around and knocked around the way it used to be in the old days. So you get a player to come in and really have an impact, and we're all measured by statistics. Well, as we, you and I have talked about, all these statistics are quite inflated in general based upon the wide open lanes to the basket, you know, the way the court is spread, the way the game has evolved. And then you get a power player like Zion who just can overpower, but he's such a unique talent, bundle of skill and power at that age. But I think the fundamental change is just that the game is so wide open. If you're offensively gifted, you're going to have an impact sooner.
I know you're paying attention to the MLS, Tom Penn, LAFC president and co-owner. Former NBA analyst, does a lot of work, can do both. We were just talking this morning. It's almost unbelievable to me. 17th year, LeBron's number one seed in the West. And when did you, as somebody who's a personnel guy, be it soccer or basketball, when you talk to veteran players, David Beckham came over and played for your rival in L.A. years ago and was aging and aging, and Brady's going to Tampa and he's old, but yet he's still like in the, when you look at sports today as somebody who understands how the athletes are growing, the nutrition, the training, into what you saw when you broke into the NBA. How much better is it today?
Well, the longevity of these guys, the ability to perform so well late in their career, sports science means something. You know, I kind of came up in the age of modern sports science, modern analytics in sports. So the infusion of big tech and real technology into this era of athletes has created those that embraced it and those that have really leaned into it. The smartness behind all the nutrition, the way we train, the way they train, it just stretches things out to where we see a player like LeBron with no end in sight, really, with his dominance and the way he plays. These guys have really, Tom Brady, you know, you just go through any of them, there's just this longevity factor that plays out. It used to be that players would fall off a shelf and it'd be over.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen as much anymore. They can really have a nice long tail on the end of this.
LAFC, I watched you guys get knocked out in a very, by the way, the it was a fascinating end against, I think it was Orlando. The MLS back tournament semis get underway tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, FS1. Portland takes on Philadelphia. My friend Tom Penn, we got to do dinner soon. And
Let's do it.
Say hi to your fam. Good talking to you, Tom.
Thanks, Colin.
You bet. Yeah, I mean, I think we have to be honest about all these sports. They've knocked it out of the park. I was thinking about this morning. NFL free agency. Remember everybody was saying, you can't do this. Home run. NFL draft was an A++. MLS, most I've ever watched. Once teams got in, no positives. Golf has been incredibly strong, even in exhibition. NASCAR has not only been excellent, they've had races with actual fans in them. UFC, maybe better than anybody, hit it out of the park. Some of the best cards they've ever had. NBA, I think Joy and I have said, the optics are better than I expected. The intensity is unbelievable. These feel like playoff games. The NHL, no positive, 800-plus tests. You know, the media, and this is what's, you know, listen, I'm not, I don't believe it's fake news. I hate that term. I don't believe the media is rooting against success. But the media wakes up snarky and cynical. And I just, I'm not, that's not how I roll. I like, every day is new. Every day is fun. Let's make the most of it. Let's not make too much of what happened to the Marlins. Let's not take too much out of what happened to the St. Louis Cardinals. Listen, baseball was always going to be tough. No bubble, bunch of teams, young players, international, 4 months. This was going to happen. This is contagious. You throw food and drink in, it's supposed to be even more contagious. You're asking 24-year-olds to stay in hotel rooms 4 days in Cleveland. It ain't going to be perfect, but overwhelmingly, sports has hit it out of the park. MDriveForMen.com. Check it out. MDriveForMen.com. Protein and nutrients, an industry leader. Check it out. Start your day with MDrive.